Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anthony Slater joins us as he does every single Wednesday on the Rollstar 95.7 The Game Insider on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Slates, what's happening, man? Good morning to you. And didn't Draymond make the rounds during the tournament? He tweeted something about Zach Edey or whatnot?
I mean, probably. Draymond got like a Thursday night football show. There's not a NFL linebacker he hasn't put a tape takeout on. So to answer your question, probably. Do I remember it? No.
No, well, Spadoni
has
it here.
Right here, Slates. Don't worry. So this is Draymond on April 8th. So this was when they were playing, who was it, UConn?
UConn, right? Or maybe the semifinal game. It could have been either or.
So there you go. Sure. So job well done, 35. You did your job tonight. It was him that made Edey quit with about 19 minutes to go
in the second half.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing Draymond loves more than like an undersized big, like, you know, handling like one of those 7-footers, particularly in like a Big Ten setting.
But you know what? I don't really care about that aspect of it. Draymond's playing some good basketball. Playing some really good basketball. But let's start here, Slater, this week. They play the Hawks today, and I think maybe you're with me here. I don't know. I think it's going to be a little tricky game tonight. Hawks, they got some of the impressive defensive numbers. They had an impressive win the other night in Sacramento, but the Warriors' free throw shooting, what do you make of that?
I mean, I think a lot of the guys that are getting free throws for them right now are questionable free throw shooters, right? You know, Kuminga's got to be better than, what is he, about 61% right now? Mm-hmm. Particularly because if he becomes who he wants to in his career, which is like a downhill high usage wing, like he's going to be taking 8-9 a game, right? You can't be leaving points on the table like that. Like your best scoring star wings are like 80% free throw shooters. So he's got to get better. But, you know, Draymond and Kevon Looney kind of are who they are from the line. Trayce Jackson-Davis were become, you know, I think we're starting to learn he's in near more 65-ish range. And if he's going to get free throws, Steph's not getting that many right now. Yeah. I think 3.3 per game, which is about, it's the lowest since like his third season. Like, obviously, if Steph gets him, you know, ups his volume, the accuracy of the team is going to go up. So I don't know. I don't know that it's just a massive problem, but it cost them a game the other night, and it was a problem that I know internally, you know, some of their, you know, numbers people were like bringing up to them, like, hey, this has got to get better. And then I think it just lands better with the team now that's like, hey, you lost the game because of this.
60% for Pods from the free throw
line. What's going on with Pods?
It just seems like a few things kind of snowballed on him, right? I mean, we've talked about it though, but he breaks the nose. I think that kind of throttled him going into the season a little bit. He was trying to embrace the mask, but it became very clear it was annoying to him early on. And then this very strange illness, whatever you want to call it, where he leaves the game in D.C. because he was dizzy, like really dizzy. Sounds like vertigo to me, but I've been told they said it wasn't vertigo. Pod said the other day he doesn't, like, they haven't figured out exactly what it was, but he misses a couple games, super low energy when he came back. And then that, I think, has snowballed into the idea that his stats aren't good. He's clearly pressing. I mean, Steve has openly said he thinks there was been some indecisive games from him, which is rare for Pajemski. And then the shooting, you mentioned the shooting numbers. He's 38% overall. I think he's 19% from three and then 60% from the line. I mean, that's like, they can't have that. And they say, you know, you go back to his summer. He shot it well all summer. He shot it well in camp. He shot it well late last season. They are really pumping out the belief that, like, over the long term of his career, he's going to show to be a very good shooter. He was in college. We all remember. I remember when they drafted him. I thought that was his most, like, translatable skill. So they think it's going to get corrected, but, like, now's the time, right?
What do you think happens in terms of rotation? Because it feels to me like they're searching for another point guard to kind of step up. Lindy Waters, maybe bringing the ball up. Moody, now with the Melton injury, that really hampers him, and we'll get to him in a second. But just for the short term, how do you think they break it down?
Yeah, I mean, those are the other guys, like Moody and Lindy Waters, can't play point. Their points are there. It's Steph, obviously, but Draymond as a point forward. And then on the back of it is Pajemski and Kyle Anderson.
Kyle Anderson.
And, you know, we know the style they play. Everybody's going to touch the ball. You'll see anybody, Kevon Looney at times with the ball up top, like, you know, initiating an action. But if we're just talking point guard, that's kind of how they view it. As far as, like, I'm curious about who starts at the two, obviously, because without Melton, they've tried to go with your more, like, shooting, like, taller two guard. They've gone with Lindy Waters. Moody's kind of viewed to them more as like a 3-4, but, you know, I could see him starting at the two. I just know historically, like I said, they haven't necessarily liked him in that particular slot. And then Pajemski, I mean, to me, if you want to get him going, just starting him and you know, kind of maybe giving him some responsibilities off the bat, maybe juices him a little bit. I could hear that argument. I think they should probably try Moody or Pajemski in the starting lineup.
I'm kind of with you there as we're talking to Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line, because it is unfortunate with De'Anthony Melton. He seemed like he solidified this starting five. He was 7-14 from three in his previous two games, starting to get his three after missing five games, of course. Or actually, he came back to the Cleveland game, then he goes 7-14 and gets OKC in Dallas. He had a lower back injury. And now he has a sprained left ACL. What are you hearing about this? How serious can this be? Do the Warriors expect him to be out a couple weeks, a few weeks, a month? What are you hearing about De'Anthony Melton?
Yeah, I mean, I spent the whole day on Monday trying to figure that out. And they're like, there's not really any firm answers from anybody. I mean, it's like he is seeking extra opinions, you know, from various doctors and trying to, I guess, figure out what the best treatment plan is, rest plan. You know, how severe the sprain is, whatever. It's clearly some type of tricky injury that where, you know, Rick Celebrini and some of the medical decision makers from the Warriors and Melton himself just don't really, you know, grasp how severe it is yet and how long it's going to take. You do, on the optimistic side, when you talk to people, go, what, they hope he's only out for a couple weeks and then he's able to kind of ramp the conditioning back up. It didn't seem, outside looking in, it didn't seem like that severe a sprain when it happened. He was going into the game kind of wearing a sleeve on that leg. And then if you guys remember the play, it almost looked like it might have been like an ankle tweak or a small little tweak. He finished the game. He closed against the Mavericks after it happened. And then obviously we hear about it the next day. So we'll see. Again, he's walking, like, he's not on crutches or anything. You see him during the game, like, come out of the tunnel. He's doing some work. I have not seen him do any court work or anything like that. But according to them, look, they think they should have an answer within the next week or so after getting more opinions on it. But clearly they do not know yet exactly.
Wow. Okay. They need him. I mean, I was like, I got teased by seeing the various lineups with him, and it's like, wow. I mean, he can give you shooting.
By the way,
he's an extra ball.
He's available. He's, you know, he's dealt with this stuff. You know, he played 35 games last year. The back's been an issue. Like, he's on a make good contract because he's trying to prove to the league, hey, I can stay healthy and I can.
Right. Like, so how do they thread the needle, Slates? Like, I know they did this kind of with Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah.
And he was in a different role. Like, how do they thread this needle with him? I think he's important.
He's hugely important. It does feel like he kind of completes not only the starting lineup, but completes like the team in a lot of ways. You mentioned the name Otto Porter. I mean, Otto Porter, by the way, we probably had this conversation three or four times during the season about Otto Porter. He was in and out of the lineup. The thing is, they just guided him really well into the playoffs to where, as you look back at that season, he was there at all the key moments, right?
Right.
I remember he had they went into Phoenix during that like 18-2 start and had a huge win in Phoenix. I remember Poole went off when he was still starting, and Otto Porter like won the game with like three jumpers late, and it was like, you know, what a signing. But then he missed like a month or something like that. They deactivated him. A lot of it is like Rick Celebrini is very careful. and it's part of kind of his treatment plan. So to answer your question, how they thread the needle, I mean, Rick Celebrini is going to do his best to try to thread the needle and get DeAnthony Melton available when it matters most this season. But that could also include a lot of various deactivations over the course of the season. Or, by the way, like, we don't know how bad this, you know, if this sprained ACL, anytime you hear the term ACL, like, there's obviously a larger concern, you guys know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying here. It's not ideal. Didn't Otto Porter Jr. go through like a 3-month stretch where he hit 5 threes or something like that? Struggling mightily.
It's just funny how it works when like a title happens. Like, you don't remember all the various like fits right. and starts of that season. Draymond Green missed over half that season with a really scary back injury.
Yep. His mom, Mary Babers Green, enjoyed us before game four. She goes, "I have no idea how bad the back is." I was like, "What? What the hell is going on here?" Steph missed a lot of time. I don't even think, what did he miss the last?
Missed the last month.
Yeah, the last
Steph
month.
Remember, Steph didn't start in the first round of the playoffs. Right. It was his first game back. They were starting Jordan Poole.
They were. He was coming off the bench. Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game. Our 95.7 The Game insider does a great job for The Athletic here. So Buddy Hill, Jonathan Kuminga coming off the bench here. What's the deal with Loon? Do they expect Loon to play today? Because they missed him the other night against Zubac.
Yeah, sounds like it. I mean, got a workout in. And, Looney kind of plays through stuff. And, you know, reality is Looney's a 12 to 18 minute, per game type guy. So I would guess yes tonight on Looney.
Turnovers. So go ahead. I was going to just ask about the turnovers. Feel like it's starting to rear its ugly head over the last two games, Slates.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's three losses this season, or three of their, like, five worst turnover nights, which was 17 against Cleveland and then 19 and 21 in the two Clippers losses. I do think the common thread there is like the type of defense the Clippers play and the type of defense like the Cavs play, long, athletic, physical, Ty Lue's kind of at the spear of the head with the Clippers. So this is, I think, switching teams that really kind of overcommit on Steph, particularly if it's a sloppy Draymond night, which he would admit the other night really was, right? He had six turnovers. You're going to turn the Warriors over. And when you turn the Warriors over, you're probably going to beat them. That's, I think, what we're learning, particularly about this team, and even go back to last year's team. So we'll see. We'll see. It's going to happen. They're going to have, a handful of 20 turnover games the rest of the season. They just can't average 16, 17 a game. And right now they're at 14.7. I think they're like middle of the pack in the league. Like, that's not that bad.
No. I'm just looking at the variety of ratings, and I know that, we kind of care because we're in it. I don't know if necessarily the average fan cares, but I love the explanations and then some of the contradictions. Silver is blaming the election in the World Series for the dip in ratings. Draymond thinks that the media wants to suspend him because of the poor ratings. Shaq is blaming three-point shooting for the poor ratings. And yet the NBA Cup ratings are up 71%, and Steph on national TV is rating through the roof. Why is Steph such an anomaly in this era where the ratings are seeing a big dip?
He's just like the extremely famous, like beyond, your Anthony Edwards is like famous in the basketball world. Steph Curry's like just famous in the world. The Warriors are a big ratings draw. I mean, we know this. It's been like this for years. They're a solidified long-time team that has like kept mostly their core members together. I mean, at this point, we're basically just talking Steph and Draymond, but they're just a brand that draws. I mean, the Lakers are too, and LeBron is, but at this point, it does seem like Steph is a bump higher than that. My thing on it all is like, I just think the habits of like NBA viewers have changed. Like, I know so many of my friends or, just people in the past that I know that like really follow the league. And every time I see them, they can talk storylines or they want to know what's going on here. Like, hey, why is Moody not playing? Name your various like pretty in the weeds storyline. Like, they know what's going on. And then it's like, have you watched the game yet this season? Like, not yet. Like, I'll probably watch one later in the year. They're following it on their phones. They're seeing the highlights that they're anything I'm reporting, like it's getting to them, but it's like, they're not sitting down every night like, Warriors Jazz on a Sunday at 6 p.m. Like, I'm locked in. It's just what it is.
Yep. No, I agree with that, Slater. Real quick, we played the sound of Draymond coming in of the whole Taylor Jenkins and Zach Edey situation. Would you make it a foul Friday night? Because Friday night was, That second half was tough to watch. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know how we were going to get through the postgame show watching that second half. And then, you know, we talked after the game Friday night. But then I didn't even think about the Zach Edey play. I didn't think it was that big of a deal that we moved on. Now I got upgraded to a flagrant one. Then you get the back and forth with Draymond Green kind of replying to Taylor Jenkins and the whole break the cold thing. Where do you sit in all this stuff? Because Kendrick Perkins actually escalated by saying he should be suspended for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, like, I don't mind if that gets upgraded to a flagrant one, take foul, whatever you want to call it. But the idea that, like, Draymond suddenly needs to be suspended for these, like, relatively normal physical fouls is, like, it's, like, people have gone over the top with it. Why did he get suspended? Choked Rudy Gobert after the whistle, right? That was a 9-second choke. That wasn't like, oh, a take foul in transition. And then the Nurkic forearm. And then you can go back to the pool punch that kind of led into all this. Like, those were, like, violent, very different scenarios, not like, oh, a take foul in transition that, you know, may have been a slightly overboard, or, you know, he fouled Valanciunas hard the other day, and, like, you know, Valanciunas was kind of up in arms about it. It's like, no, he's just, like, stopping a, you know, a layup. Like, those are fine physical, you can call it 1990s basketball. Yeah. I do think he's moaning a little bit about, like, kind of the softness of, like, the interior play. I know, did you see in that podcast he kind of alluded to Joe Mazzulla, like, wondering why they don't allow a little bit more fighting in the league? Yeah. Saying, hey, look, hockey allows fighting. And then, by the way, did you hear Draymond the other day talking about, he loves hockey. He's talking about Maxim Celebrini in detail. And within that answer, he was mentioning why he likes hockey. He's like, you know, they let him fight, you know? It's like, bang, and they just walk over the penalty box for 3 minutes. So I'm like, obviously you don't want Draymond to do some of the stuff that have gotten him suspended the last couple of years, but I do think we've gone over the top where every little Draymond foul that other interior people commit, suddenly we're having a debate on if he needs to be suspended. Like, no. Like, at most, that's a flagrant one, which, by the way, isn't even an ejection. A flagrant one is you have to get two of those over the course of a game to be disqualified. So the suspension talk is ludicrous.
I think. It is ludicrous. And quietly, he got ejected out of the Friday night's game. I still don't even know why. That was a mess at the end of that game. Good Lord, that game was terrible. Real quick, the Atlanta Hawks. Should Warrior fans be concerned about the Atlanta Hawks, Slates?
I mean, you should be concerned about anybody at this point. Look, Trey Young can get hot. Dyson Daniels, you mentioned their defensive numbers.
You see his steal numbers? He's got 33 steals in the last 7 games.
Yeah, look at his, like, deflections. He's, like, double anybody in the league, which, like, you know, that's a number I know defensive coaches love. It's just disruption. Did you see the end of the Kings game?
I did see that on De'Aaron Fox, yeah.
Yes, really clean, nice trip to basically win that game. De'Aaron Fox had a shot at a game. So, you know, he's going to be difficult to deal with, and I think you got to credit Atlanta for getting him in that DeJounte Murray deal. They're okay, though. I mean, the Hawks are, what's their record right now? Like 7-8, They're one of the various mid-tier Eastern Conference teams. Warriors should take care of business. They have Hawks, Pelicans, Spurs, Nets, the next four. Those are four under 500 teams. Should at least go 3-1.
I'm with you there. Hawks, man, I'm looking at the numbers now. Steals per game, second. Deflections per game, third. Warriors are up there in those same categories. Opponents' turnover percentage, they're fourth in the league. So Hawks do a great job defensively under Quinn Snyder, man.
Dyson Daniels. That is a one-man wrecking crew right now.
33 steals. Lutman and Shask are looking at me crazy because they have no idea who's on the Hawks other than Trae Young. They're like, the Hawks who? The Hawks what? Lutman, he has no clue what's going on with the Atlanta Hawks.
I want to see Shasky try to dribble near Dyson Daniels like 10 times and see how many times he can get his dribble past him.
Don't underestimate me. I'm like Stan Van Gundy with the handles, bro.
I think Dyson would pick Stan Van. I mean, I've seen that video you're talking about, but
yeah. Don't underestimate. Your boy was hitting last night on eighth grader, so we had a big basketball practice. I couldn't miss last night.
All right, I'll believe cooking. It. Maybe get out there tonight.
Yeah, a 42-year-old on a bunch of 14-year-olds. I was cooking.
Hey, I watched the Mike Tyson fight. It's not like you describing that right now.
Yeah, did you see him in the locker room? That's what my performance was like.
All right. I don't know. I'm not envisioning that.
Hey, Slate's on the way out the door. I dare you to tell Draymond he's the Chris Pronger of the NBA.
Oh, boy.
Should I know that reference?
One of the greatest enforcers in hockey history.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. See, Draymond clearly knows a lot more than I do about hockey because I couldn't have told you who Chris Pronger
is. He's locked in on hockey, man. Back in celebrating with the game winner. You know, Draymond was fired up for that. Oh, Intuit Dome. Quick, 20 seconds. Intuit Dome. What you think?
It's nice. I mean, if I came in expecting like grand, and I would say it was like slightly below what I was hoping, but it's, wow. the amenities are really nice. The medium room is nice, which I like. I wish they kind of had more like, you know, restaurants, entertainment, stuff like that outside of it, but is an eight out of 10 okay? I mean, will that,
That's not bad. Joe Lacob wouldn't want to hear that, but you know, that's not bad.
See you soon, buddy.
I'll see you tonight. All right, I'll see you tonight, Slater. All right. Anthony Slater.